Our scripture lesson comes from Romans chapter 6. This is what one commentator said is the essence of Christianity. So listen for God's word. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is God's word for us this morning. I stand before you today having recently seen one of the great wonders of the world. No, it wasn't the Taj Mahal or the Great Wall of China or the pyramids of Egypt. No, I didn't see the Great Barrier Reef or the Aurora Borealis or the Redwood Forest. This wonder surpasses all of those. What wonder did I see? I saw Wonder Woman on the big screen. That's right. I watched as Diana of Themyscira, daughter of Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons, offspring of Zeus, supposedly, transform into Wonder Woman, and I saw it with the wonderful woman of my life. Yeah, make sure you tell her I said that. I missed Mother's Day. It was a great movie, full of action, drama, and some tough women. The movie tells the origin story of how Wonder Woman came to live among humans. Raised on the secluded island of Themyscira, Diana is largely ignorant of the world of men. When Diana learns that war plagues much of the world, she immediately knows the reason why. World War I, the war to end all wars, is happening because of an external force. Ares, the god of war, is causing it. If she could just stop him and his powerful influence, humanity would wake up from his control and its desire for war, and they would live in peace. She knows she must leave the safety of her home and go defeat him if humanity is to be saved and return to peace. I cannot stand by while innocent lives are lost, she tells her mother. However, after spending some time in the world of humans, in the midst of war, she realizes that unfortunately the cause of war and conflict is not that simple or straightforward. Something deeper than Ares draws humanity into conflict. As the movie opens, she says, "I used to want to save the world, this beautiful place. But the closer you get to humans, the more you see the great darkness within." What is it about us? What is it in us that we go back to war and conflict with each other over and over again when we could have peace and a different way with one another? We've been asking this question in our Bible studies and adult education groups this year. The more we read the Bible, the more we learn about the history of our faith and our world, the more we ask, why doesn't humanity ever seem to change? We keep making the same mistakes and bad choices. We keep letting greed and fear and power corrupt our God-given goodness, the image of God in us. What Jesus did doesn't seem to take hold in us. The Apostle Paul asked a similar question in our letter to the Romans. How can we who have died to sin go on living in it? The question invites us into Paul's dialogue with people in the Roman church because something is shaping our reality like it did theirs. If, like humanity in Wonder Woman, we keep going back to old ways of destruction and death, doesn't life begin to feel like darkness? Like nothing has changed? Like darkness is normal? It can even make people of faith believe that Christ has not done enough or anything at all. That nothing has been transformed by his life, death, and resurrection, including us. So what's the point of believing? What difference does it make? Today's reading, however, says that it doesn't have to feel that way. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes out of his way to make sure his readers, that we understand that life in Christ is, in fact, different. We may not feel it all the time, but a transformation has taken place. Paul writes, "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ." You have been transformed. I have been transformed. We have been transformed. And you know that moment when you lose your place? It's kind of a strange feeling. We are now what God says we are. As one author wrote, we've been baptized children of God. In that moment of baptism, although it seems insignificant, Paul reminds us that a full-scale transformation was formalized. In fact, he says that in our baptism, God publicly, officially announced us as connected to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, along with all of its effects. God stirred in us a faith that laid hold of the baptismal promise that says this: my sinful self died with Christ on the cross. My broken, dying, and condemned flesh was buried with him in the tomb. And I rose with him on Easter. I rose with him on Easter, whole, righteous, eternal, free, and beloved. I am transformed. If you are a baptized follower of Jesus Christ, that is the truth. That is reality. Regardless of what you feel, you live in a new reality now, a new age today. You are spiritually, inwardly resurrected now, and will be physically and fully transformed at Christ's return tomorrow. That is your reality. The key, as Paul encourages, is to remember that we are dead to sin and we are alive to Christ. This, friends, is why we should pay attention to the opening question of our reading. The question and its answer need to be heard with a strong conviction. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. We are different people. But here's the problem that Paul wants to address. Too often we limit the fullness of grace in our lives, but then we expect God to keep forgiving us, whether we change or not, whether we live as if grace shapes our lives or just gives us a pass to keep doing what we did before, to ourselves, to others, to this world, as if grace is really all about just making us happy. Author N.T. Wright invites us to imagine the story of the prodigal son as an example. You remember the story. the younger son twists his father's arm for his share of the property, goes off and spends it all, and comes home, he thinks, in utter disgrace. Then, to his astonishment, he finds his father running down the road to meet him and throwing a huge party in his honor. He is welcomed back as a son, even though he doesn't deserve it. Now imagine this. After a year or two of living in this home of grace, he remembers with a happy sigh the day he came down that road and his father came running to greet him. And he thinks to himself, suppose I did it again. Why not help myself to enough things to survive, run away for a few weeks, and then play the penitent and come back home again? Now, it may sound absurd. It may sound like he's taking advantage of his father's good gifts. But isn't that exactly what a great many people believe? God will forgive me. That's his job. As if some have said, we must be inclusive. We must tell people that God accepts them the way they are. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with that. But the way I learned about grace growing up in church is this. God loves me just the way I am, but he didn't intend for me to stay that way. Grace not only accepts us, it rescues us, and it leads us through death into new life. Anything less doesn't lead to the whole, righteous, eternal, free, and beloved life God intends. You see, Paul's question tells us that there's more to our faith than we often realize or know. Prior to our connection with Christ, sin and death owned us. They owned us to the point that they wreaked havoc and robbed us of hope. Prior to being connected to Christ, all we could do was sin. Even our best efforts were marred by the fact that we were far from God, and all we had to look forward to was death and burial. Then God did what we didn't deserve. God raised us with Christ. And now we have the power to see things differently, to choose differently, to live differently. We won't be perfect at being different. We may still choose sin and death like Wonder Woman discovered about us. But here's the good news. God sees us not in light of our sin, but in light of our resurrection. So even now, when we mess up, when we contribute to the brokenness of this world, when we choose war and conflict, unhealthy ways for our bodies, our relationships, our communities, our world, God looks at us and still sees a son or a daughter and calls us back into grace. This is what Paul is trying to get the Romans to see. If God's work in Christ is our reality, then we can choose differently because we have a different home and a different life. We can be forgiven. We don't need to go back to sin and death. We can stop creating brokenness in this world just so that grace may abound. We can look forward and move forward and rise up and be the different people we are now. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ, Paul says. How different would life feel if we stopped looking back at all the mistakes we have made and instead let grace heal us and rescue us so that we could look forward? How different would life and ministry be if we truly left behind sin and death and lived in a land called grace and invited others to do the same? I think Paul is perplexed by the Romans. It's like they live in a land divided by a river. On the one side is sin and death, and on the other is life and grace. With Christ's help, they have crossed the river and have been moved to a new land. Only instead of living in that new land, they keep going back to the other side, to the old life. They keep going back to all the things that harm who they are, that break down and rob human dignity, that let the darkness feel as though it has all the power and that ultimately keeps them from living into the future God has for them and for all people. It's like one of the characters in Wonder Woman says, men are easily corrupted. So what do we do? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we simply go and let darkness win? By no means, Paul says. How can we who have died to sin go on living in it? How can we who know the joy and the hope, the peace that passes all understanding, the forgiveness that restores us to life, that shapes us into the body of Christ, that leads us to love and serve this world and all its people? How can we who are dying to live go backwards? What if instead those gifts became our way of life? The way we love and serve others, the way we help, and the way we give. Paul will answer those questions next week when we look at the second half of Romans 6. But for today, how are you going back to your old life when God has raised you to a new one? At the end of the movie, Wonder Woman has a great insight. She says, "I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to mankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light. I learned that inside every one of them, there will always be both. The choice each must make for themselves. Something no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save the world. So now I stay, I fight, and I give for the world I know can be. This is my mission now, forever." Friends, love has saved the world. We know that love in the person of Jesus Christ. He isn't our hero. He is our Savior. Our baptism unites us with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection so that we are now whole, righteous, eternal, free, and beloved people. That may be hard to believe sometimes. We may not always feel it, and our lives may not always show it. But our faith is not based on our belief or on our feelings. It's grounded in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we have been united with Him. That is our reality now. That is why we stay, why we fight, and why we give, so that in choosing grace, we may build lives and communities and a world that is whole, righteous, eternal, free, and beloved. Amen.